I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And today on the show, we're playing catch-up. A whole lot of catch-up, like 2 months worth of catch-up. And I'm not talking about the red stuff that people put on fries. I don't put ketchup on fries. I don't like it. Now, ranch dressing, we'll talk, but not ketchup. Now, the kind of catch-up I'm talking about is because we haven't done a show in a while. It's been quite a while. But at any rate, we won't belabor that point because it's well and truly my fault. Was it yours? You were ready for a show long ago, I know. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeed. By the way, all the things that are happening here at Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, can be found on our website, drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. You can go there for more interesting things. By the way, have you subscribed to this netcast, podcast, YouTube video, whatever this is? Have you subscribed? If you haven't, you should. You just ding the bell. And while you're dinging the bell, go ahead and, you hit the subscribe button, then you ding the bell. It's two steps, two simple steps. Hit the red subscribe button, and then ding the bell. Yes. Do that, and you'll be notified when we drop new videos, which, because we do it rarely, you really should be notified. So go ahead and do that. Yeesh. Anyway, like I said, we have a few things to talk about. As you know, as I find tech that is of interest, I show you that tech. And this got the usual problem of getting it to be in focus. Let me bring it up here where it'll be roughly equal to my head. Roughly there. The HD webcam eMeet C960. Now you might say, Dr. Bill, why would you buy another webcam? My wife asked me that very question. But this time I have an answer. It may not be a good answer, but it's the only answer I have. This webcam is a webcam that will work off of USB 2.0. Now you might say, yes, but Dr. Bill, that's not a good thing. USB 2.0 is slower than USB 3.0. Therefore, the throughput isn't as good. Therefore, you can't have as high a resolution, like 4K, from your webcam. Well, of course not. Silly me. Silly you for thinking that. Of course not. No. But what happens if you have a very, very, very old computer that does not have USB-C, that does not have USB 3.0, that in fact only has USB 2.0, and I know you're saying, Dr. Bill, why would you be even using a computer that's that old? Because. Because you don't need a giant, fancy, brand spanking new computer to do a lot of things. I mean, there are people that surf on Chromebooks, and they barely have enough power to yank the hat from your head. Why would you use a computer to yank a hat from your head? That's a whole nother animal. But. You don't need a lot of power these days to surf the web and do simple things. But if you have a computer that only has USB 2.0, and yet you need a webcam to do zooming and jitsiing and things of that nature, conferencing. Let's just generally make it video conferencing, shall we? If you are in that situation, then you need a webcam that will handle that and look pretty doggone good doing it. And that's what this camera does. The HD Webcam E-Meet C960. Relatively inexpensive. Relatively. It's not as good as free. But, you know, it's a pretty decent webcam. Now, let me show you. I'm going to move the... First of all, I got to grab it by the right spot. There we go. Ooh, see? I knew I would do that. I jerked the real camera there while I was getting the webcam. Look at this arrangement. This is an interesting arrangement. This is... Get the cable. This webcam, as you can see, the cable goes directly to the webcam. It does not plug in separately. So if this cable were to ever get stepped on, mangled, pulled, you just throw away the webcam and get another one. Okay. You understand where we're coming from in terms of quality here. Okay, this is a clamp. Ow, it's a very tight clamp. I'm clamping my finger with it. But this clamp allows you to clamp it to the side of your monitor. Now, it does not come with the webcam. However, the webcam does have a mounting socket that you can mount it to a mount. Mount it to a mount. And this then clamps to the side of your monitor and allows you to use your webcam. And see, it's got this cute little door for security, which came as a stick'em that stuck to the camera and then did this little door trick. Way to go, Chinese webcam designers. At any rate, I don't mean to mock it too soundly. It has dual noise-canceling speakers, or not speakers, microphones, and actually does a fair to middling job. Not that I would use it. You know, I've got the SM7B for audio. Know what I'm saying? But this is handy to use on your older computer. So I wanted to show this to you because it solved a given problem for me. And it might solve a problem for you as well. Okay? So that's tip number one for this show. See, you get what you pay for. You say, Dr. Bill, I didn't pay for this show. Exactly. Next tip. As long as we're giving away tips, there is a command that comes with Windows 10 and up, which means it is also in Windows 11. That's all we've got right now is Windows 10 and Windows 11. It's not on the older versions of Windows. However, this command is called WinGet. You see, Microsoft got to looking at Linux and said, you know, these guys have got a pretty good idea to have a command that you could just run a command and upgrade all the software on the computer. That's pretty cool. We need to do that. So they came up with a way to do that. It's called WinGet. Instead of apt, APT, in Linux, and I'm talking about, of course, something like Ubuntu Linux, you know, apt-get, so it's apt-get, install, apt-get, upgrade, et cetera, et cetera. With WinGet, you can do something similar. You go to your command line, you type, in this case, here's the tip, WinGet space upgrade space dash dash, that's two dashes, A-double-L all, as it says there on the screen, okay? You type that at your command prompt, and it will go out, it will look at everything on your system, and if it is in WinGet's database of things to upgrade, so it has to be software that's reasonably, you know, sourced, shall we say, then it will upgrade it to the latest version. I just did it to this computer that I'm using right now, and it worked very, very well, very cleanly. So that's handy to be able to upgrade all the software on your computer instead of one at a time, painstakingly, Do it all with one command. Winget space upgrade space dash dash A-double-L. Okay? So that's two handy hints that you have. Now for the third handy hint for today. And for that, I have to set this up. Oh, by the way, I do want to do a demo of that webcam. Don't let me forget that, okay? Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and do that now, okay? Here we go. And here we go. This is the eMeet webcam, as I showed you the box earlier. That's it. And as you can see, it has a little cute little thing here that I can close it for security purposes. Pretty handy. But, you know, USB 2.0 webcam. Now, it has a very deep, wide aspect ratio. This camera is only about a foot away from my face. So that's how wide we're talking here in terms of view. But, hey, it's a USB 2.0 webcam. Okay? There you go. See? Not bad for a webcam. Not bad for a 2.0 USB 2.0 connection webcam. Right? Really? Okay. Glad I remembered to do that. Didn't want to leave that before we did that. Okay? So, but here's the third tip. And I have to set it up. I used to be a Citrix administrator. I used to be one back in the day. Yes. I was a Citrix administrator for many years. You know, in the regular business community world. And, was a pretty good one, actually. The old man voice. Got to break that out every once in a while when I'm talking about old stuff. But I was a Citrix administrator for 25 plus years at various institutions around the Central North Carolina area that I used to work for. And it was fascinating stuff. And the thing that I liked about Citrix, see, here's the thing. Thing that I liked about Citrix was the ability to publish an application from a server out to the business, you know, at large, and have people run the application off the server, which meant, see, here's the trick. I could upgrade the software that was being served out. Like, let's say it was a database. Okay, we had a database at the hospital where I worked, and people would tap into the database, and occasionally there would be an upgrade, okay? But rather than having to touch every single PC around the organization, which numbered into the thousands, I could upgrade the software on the Citrix servers, of which maybe there was five servers that were running this application, and then I would share it out through Citrix. And people could run the application. It looked like it was running locally, but it was really running off the server. So I had control. I like control. You say, well, Dr. Bill, that's all well and good, but Citrix costs thousands of dollars. What could I use that for at home? There's no way. But there is something similar in the Linux world. And being in the Linux world, it's 100% free and open source. You say, surely not. How could that be? Well, this application is called, and I'm going to bring it up here, X2Go Client. You run the X2Go server on the Linux box, and then you publish the software. And you run the X2O client on your client PC, which is could be a Windows box. So, you know, you're not locking people into Linux on the client side. They click on the icon, they run it, and they see the published application. Now, for those doubters out there that are going, I don't know about that, here's a demo that shows how that works. All right, folks, in the introduction, you heard me talk about my relationship to Citrix and Terminal Server and published applications. What I want to show you now is an actual demo of the product that I found that is so amazing to me to be an open source project. So let's take a look at it. It's called X2Go. All right, X2Go. I'm going to bring up the client here. This is the Windows client. You'll see I have two sessions defined over here, Only Office and UDesk. And I've also, having created these sessions, I have them over here as individual icons on my desktop. Now, this desktop is a Windows 10 computer. And if I go to UDesk, this icon, and click it, it will come up and ask me for a password. This is the password of my account over on the UDesk computer. The name UDesk is what I gave the Linux box that we're going to connect to. Now, you notice it comes up here and says, we have a desktop available here that would be desktop zero. I'm going to go ahead and click full access. I could click view only if I just wanted to view the desktop, but I want to have full access. So I'm going to click that, and that will then spawn a process. You see I got a notification there, and it will open up a window here to that system. Now, if you're familiar, I'm going to go ahead and log in. If you're familiar with VNC or TeamViewer or some of the desktop sharing applications that are available in Windows, this looks very similar. I'm on the actual desktop of the Linux machine that I built that I called UDesk. UDesk stands for Ubuntu Desktop. It's just a kind of an abbreviation of that. And if we go here, we can see that I've installed Microsoft Edge as the web browser here on Linux, which I know sounds a little odd, but I really like it, so there you go. And it's doing some pop-ups because I've got notifications enabled there. Now, I can come in here and I can run anything. I can go to DuckDuckGo for the search engine, whatever, as I normally would. And you notice it's got all of the things that I normally have in Edge because I am logged into my Microsoft account and I have sync turned on. So these are all the things that I'm used to having in my Edge web browser, even under Windows. So I'm going to get out of there. We'll exit out. And as you can see, I mean, this is Linux, but it looks very Windows-like. What I've done here is built an Ubuntu desktop with the very latest version of Ubuntu, and I'm running a particular brand, if you will, or desktop of Linux that is based on KDE called Plasma. And it's a very, very nice environment to operate in. And it looks very Windows-like. I really like it. And I like doing it this way. Rather than, you know, acquiring Kumbuntu, however you want to pronounce that, from their site, I'd rather build a regular Ubuntu desktop and then install the the display manager that I want, in this case Plasma. And that's what I'm doing. But what I wanted you to see here is this gives you the actual desktop. And if you were to go to this desktop, you would see my icon moving. I'm actually sharing the individual desktop. I'm not spawning a new session. Okay? So let's get out of that. Close this out. Now here's where it gets really, really interesting. As I said, I was in the secular commercial arena, a Citrix administrator. And one of the things we did as Citrix administrators was publish applications, where the application would run on a server and then display on a local machine. Now let me show you something interesting here. Over here I have Only Office installed locally. It's right here on this Windows box. If I were to crank it up, it would run, and you would see all the various things that I've been doing here in Only Office. And this is installed locally. And you can see the documents that I've been working on here. But let's close this out now. And let's go over here to this Only Office icon. This is a published application coming off the UDesk Linux box that will be displayed locally here. In other words, I won't see the desktop. I'll only see that published application. So I'm going to click it. Again, it comes up with a login. By the way, these connections are coming through SSH. They're secured connections. So I have a tunnel, a secured tunnel between these boxes for this communication to take place. So now I have Only Office, just like I was running it locally, but it's not local. This is running off of the Linux box. You notice none of my files that were on Only Office on the local desktop are available because this is available only from what's coming off the Linux box. So if I were to come here and open this document, I can work on this document, which this is a document off of my Speak Faith website concerning the rapture of the church, and it's called The Departure of the Church and End Time Apostasy. But I can work on this document even though it is coming off the Linux box and only being displayed locally. Now here's something rather interesting. If I come down here and pull up a document, and I'm going to type, now this is in Windows. This is Windows text. Okay, this is local to my Windows machine, right? If I copy this, then I come over here to the published document to my box here, which has no direct connection. It's being displayed here. And I were to paste, there's the text that I pasted from the Windows machine. Now, I'm not sure you're understanding what I'm doing here. You have to think about this. This is coming off of a completely different system on my network. It's a published application. And I just pasted text from a different, completely different software system, completely different desktop, on the same network, but other than that, there's no connection. How cool is that? Think about that, the power of that. All right, so I can then work on this document. I can come up here and save it. I'm going to just click Save to save the document. But I could have, if I wanted to save it as a different name, I could say Save As. Now notice that /home/DrBill/documents. This is in the file structure of the Linux machine. All right, this is not my local file structure. This is the file structure of the Linux machine. Now you might say, well, Dr. Bill, that's all well and good, but what if I wanted to publish this application and I wanted to be able to save it locally to my machine? Well, let's take a look at that. We'll close all this out, and let's come over here to the properties. Actually, I think I may have to pause this and close it, and let's go to the client and look at Only Office. If I were to come over here to Session Preferences and look at all the various options, one of the options that I have here is Shared Folders. Okay, so I could add a shared folder. If I want to go out here and look, and let's say Documents. That's my local Documents folder. I'll select that folder. So now this is coming off of my local machine. I've added it in, and I click OK. Pretty cool, right? Okay. Three, count them, three cool tips for you. Wanted to share that with you. Also wanted to share some other news with you, and that is that we now have not only the Roku channel for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, we also have a Fire TV app. And all you got to do is go to drbill.tv/FireTV. As it says there on the screen, go there and you can install the Fire TV app on your Fire TV stick and be able to watch all the Dr. Bill shows right there. How's that? Cool, right? Okay, enough for this go-round of the show. Join me again next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, is a production of drbillbailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ding the bell to be notified of future videos.